This is Lisa. Well, they haven't reached nirvana yet, but they'll get there. I don't know that it's converting. I mean, if he's worried that you're not going to be around, that sounds more like an addiction than enabling him. So you're like a drug dealer who deals pen.
Maybe it's more of an awakening, I think.
Oh, awakening.
Instead of converting, an awakening.
There you go. Okay.
So as final weeks of employment go, I had to spend a couple of some days lest I lose them.
Hey.
So I took Friday off, which just also happened to be my birthday. And so Lisa and I got up not too early, but we got up early and had some breakfast and coffee, and we packed our bags and headed off on an antique journey looking for pens.
Which we love to do.
Oh, yeah. And we don't do it nearly as often these days as we used to.
No.
But there's an antique store, I guess it's an hour and a half, 2 hours away, that actually has fountain pens advertised on the building. The owner's brother used to be a pen collector, and he has a larger than average assortment of collection of pens at this store. But before I go any further, I think Lisa should mention a few words here about the great pen find of 2010, which also happened at this store. So take it away.
The birthday debacle. So in 2010, Brian's birthday rolled around like it does every year. Only this time I was in big trouble. Because I didn't have a present. I mean, I could have done clothing, nice dinner, something fine, but not exciting, the usual. I had sent a number of emails to pen friends, but nobody got back to me to sell me a pen that I knew that, you know, Brian had seen at a show and he wanted. And to be perfectly honest, we had just gotten married, and this needed to be something, you know, decent, and I was a little bit in a panic. And we had been in contact with this man who was selling off his pens before this. We just never had gotten to, we were never able to meet with him to look at the collection and you know, make the deal. So I knew that this antique store had pens in a case that Brian had looked at and he'd liked. So I got up, he went to work, I got up, I drove, hour and a half, 2 hours to some place I'd never been to in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. And remember, I'd only been there for like a year and hadn't driven that many places. So I was scared of getting lost, but I was on this mission because I had to get pens for the birthday dinner. So I got there, picked out two pens, came home, and, you know, that was my plan. But while I was there, I asked the owner about the brother's pens. And sure enough, he had left the boxes for us. So I looked at them. She hauled these big boxes up onto the counter, and I just started to sort through them, and I was in shock. So came home, gave Brian the pens. After we'd had dinner and presents and cake or whatever it was we had, ice cream probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. I gave him kind of a good news, bad news scenario. The good news was he got two pens. The bad news
nice
was...
Nice pens, too, by the way.
Yeah, I don't even remember what
An Aiken Lambert hand-engraved overlay.
That was pretty.
Actually, it had a Schaefer number one nib in it, which was kind of weird, but that's now been rectified. The other pen was a nice wall, gold-filled, number four nib lever filler. Really, really nice pen.
Yep, So the good news was he got new, you know, two new pens, and he was very pleased. The bad news was we had to go back tomorrow. We need to go back tomorrow. So no, you don't understand. We need to go tomorrow. So Brian had to go to work at one of the other store locations, which was sort of on the way. So once he was pretty much freed up, I drove down to pick him up, and we were going to take my car.
I think this was during my lunch hour even.
Yeah. Right?
We took a lunch, and then we were
going to go. Most of the way there, or at least halfway there. Yep. So you could take a kind of an extended lunch, and then you know you were going to go back and work a little bit more and make up the time. So Brian was moving his car to get it out of the way, and the muffler fell off.
Seriously.
I mean, literally just clunk, fell off.
And it fell off in the front half of the car, not the back half, the front half.
Yeah, the back half would have been a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
So long story short, I mean, it's literally like dragging, but you can't go forward. And there was a muffler shop literally behind the store. I mean, you could see it. You could walk to it. You could throw a rock and hit it. But, of course, there's no easy way to get the car there. You have to go back out onto the main road and around and like half a mile just to get to the damn store.
It's a half a mile to get about 50 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was crazy. So we're trying to balance the muffler on some pipe underneath and you know, go 5 feet, stop the car, line it up again. And it was crazy. I don't remember how we hooked it. Do we tape it or?
No, we didn't tape. We just rested it on the pipe and we drove over there. So,
yeah.
Slowly.
Yeah, very slowly. So we left it at the muffler shop and it was going to be fixed by the time we were back. And we finally get into my car. We head to the antique store where the pens are eagerly waiting for us. And we get there and we start to go through these big boxes.
This is no joke.
We're not exaggerating. These are big, heavy boxes. And so we start to go through them and take them out one by one. But there's no way to do it because these pens are literally just not thrown, but placed in the box. They're not stacked.
Baggies,
they're not boxes.
You know.
Yeah, just baggies, loose, just a box full of pens, like every Penaholic's dream.
Some bags, huge bags of parts. I mean, I sold like, some of them, but still have like literally large bags, quart-sized bags of just
filled.
Skyline Derbies and clips.
It was awesome. So, and Brian hadn't seen them. I had seen them, but I obviously could not go through every pen. And Brian was just, he was doing his little happy dance. And we're just kind of looking at each other going, oh my God, look at this. Oh my God, look at this. So the owner got her brother on the phone. We negotiated a little, happily stroked a check and hauled the boxes out to the car. So that night, so I take Brian back to the store, to his work store. The car's about ready. He does what he needs to do to finish up. He comes home and we took the boxes from my car and put them outside on a couple big saw horses with some boards outside. It was a gorgeous evening and we had a fire going far away. So the pens were safe, had a couple beers and just started to sort at first. I think just by brand, I don't even know. It was thousands of pens. First we weighed them because it was seriously one of those stories nobody will believe. Hundreds of pens, 47 pounds.
That's correct. 47
pounds. Stop for a minute. Think about that. Not 47 pens, not 47 bags, 47 pounds of pens. Now, my problem is that's going to be a birthday present. That's hard to match. I think I set the bar a little too high.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. But I think it's become birthday tradition now to go to this particular antique shop.
Yeah, she remembered us, the owner, when we bought.
Yeah, every year we come back.
Yeah.
I don't remember, surprisingly, I don't remember what we got last year, but.
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, so Friday we show up and there they are. Same batch of pens. We look through them and there were some nice pens there, but the only thing that really for us worth taking home was a nice Parker Vacuumatic pencil. It's a standard size. Three cap bands. And 1936 second quarter striped jewel, nice looking pencil. Kind of see it here.
Yeah, that was a pretty one.
Nice girth to it. Golden pearl. In working order, good imprint. So we took that one home. And we visited a number of other antique shops along the way. But our last stop was, I guess, a semi-local place. We don't get there very often, but every now and then we do. And we managed to come home with three completely full script bottles of script, the old style with the well, which is cool.
They don't make anymore.
Yep.
Which is really disappointing.
And these are with the box, original box too, yep. So that's cool. There was a hard rubber Webster pen, which, I know you're thinking, well, it's a Webster. In fact, it was actually missing. It had a wide gold fill cap end at some point, but it was missing that. Why did I buy it? It had a Parker Lucky Curve number 3 nib in it.
Hello.
Well worth the price of the pen. So we grabbed that. There was an Esterbrook, nice little copper SJ. And this year's birthday pen, what it turned out to be, an Edward Todd number 2 dip pen.
Gorgeous pen.
And I'll show it to you in just a minute here. But I guess it's no secret. I have this attraction to well-made pens, dip pens, Aiken Lambert, Edward Todd, Leroy Fairchild, Hollands, Mordan, Unger Brothers, Grieshaber, I mean, you name it. There's just something about them. But this one caught my eye for a couple of reasons. I guess I should first mention there were three total dip pens in this booth, and a box of some really bad fountain pens. But
oh yeah,
they were bad. But they had these three dip pens, and the pricing was almost outrageous. The Edward Todd was $20.
Awesome.
There was a J.C. Aiken, which was $42. And another one that was unmarked at $18. Now, for those of you that know me, the J.C. Aiken caught my eye immediately due to the association with Aiken Lambert. The holder was just—it was too brassed. The nib was
very badly brassed.
I mean, even beyond what I would accept normally. Not that I accept junk, but it's a J.C. Aiken. So, the nib was cracked up the slit. And it was bent
badly.
And even at 10% off that they offer for items over $20, it was just too much damage. Yeah. Decided to pass. We'll find another, a better one somewhere. I don't mind paying for a better quality. The unmarked pen, I was surprised. Actually, I was surprised it was unmarked, but it had a 14 karat nib, but no marking. And there was too much damage to the holder, and it lost some of the interest for me. But I like there to be some kind of marking, if possible, either nib or holder, both preferably. And the Edward Todd had both, so it was kind of win-win. And of course, this one was no beauty at first either, let me tell you. you kind of have to see through the grime and gunk.
And the damage.
The mother of pearl taper was broken off just slightly, and the nib was something else. This is why it was marked $20. It was not only was it bent forward, but the tines were crossed almost a quarter of an inch.
Yeah,
I mean, it looked like fangs. It was crazy. The holders marked with I wasn't even sure I wanted it for $20. The holder was marked with the nib size number 2. It's not marked Edward Todd, but it's marked with the holder size, which is common. And it has this almost a figure 8 pattern, kind of when you're drawing figure 8s with your pen. That's kind of what the pattern is. Real, real delicate pattern. I said for $20, it's a good experiment to put it on the nib block. And after about 30 minutes on the nib block, we had ourselves a working, late 1800s dip pen, and it's got some of the most amazing line variants I've ever seen. It goes from extra fine to quadruple broad without breaking a sweat. I mean, it's really a true wet noodle.
It's amazing.
It's going to be hard to see in the image here, but it's just a really,
yeah,
really beautiful pen. That was our experience for Friday. So maybe we'll touch on that a little bit more later.
Yep. So. Let's see. Mission Small Business. We want to thank all of you for your support. A couple weeks ago, we mentioned that we had applied for the Chase Living Social Mission Small Business Grant. It's a program where 12 small businesses will each be awarded $250,000 grant to use for business longevity. It was hard work, but we managed to not only get the required 250 votes, but a bit of a cushion with 287.
Yay.
Awesome. Thank you, all of you, for your support and helping us to reach the milestone. And now we go on to the next step where we are judged on our own merit when the application is reviewed by the committee. Results will be announced on or before September 25th or September 15th.
15th, yep.
15th. So keep your fingers crossed.
Yep. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, actually, to reach out and connect with some people. We didn't do what I know some companies did and just send an email to all your customers. I mean, we really did try to ask people who have worked with us or who have supported us before to help us out. And all you had to do was click a button.
Yeah. And I reached out to some of the other small businesses, too, that were taking part in the program. And I was actually a bit inspired by what some of these people were doing to try to make it. So very cool. Thanks, everyone.
Yep. And let's see, you've had some time off, so I'm sure you've been scoping out eBay again.
Oh, yeah. There's always time for eBay, even if it's by the fire or, you know.
Yep. What'd you find?
What did I find? Let's take a look here. This week, this one is kind of unusual. You see these every now and again. A Waterman black hard rubber. Now, they call it a secretary pen here. If you have the Max Davis Gary Lehr book on Waterman, they refer to it as a stenographer's pen, which I think may be more correct. This is essentially, it's a Waterman 12, number 2 nib. It's but it's a slender, real slender long pen, 6 1/8 inches long.
That's definitely long and skinny.
Yeah. Slip cap. Let's see if we've got some pictures here. I guess they're up here. Really long pen. You know, they're hard to find. You see them every now and then. This one looks like in just really nice shape. And I guess not too uncommon. It has an accountant nib on it. So you don't want something too flexy, I guess.
But, no, I guess for doing bookwork, you wouldn't want it to be too flexy.
Taking notes, quick notes.
Awesome.
But nice example. Winning bid, $182.50, 10 bids. Seems pretty reasonable. Nice looking pen. Kind of a weird, odd little...
something you don't see every day.
Yeah. So that was neat. The next one... was interesting, and you, if you see this picture, you're looking at it thinking, well, what the heck is this? This is a plain black pen. Now,
black used to be black. Now it's brown.
Yeah. Actually, I'm gonna go back here. The description is vintage antique dark marbled fountain pen marked 25 Parker Lucky Curve pen. Winning bid on this $355, 10 bids. But you look at it; it's a plain black hard rubber.
Oxidized.
Yeah, slip cap. It's got the early Lucky Curve pen nib with the keyhole,
cool
vent hole on it. It's got the Lucky Curve feed there. It looks like Christmas tree feed. I'm not sure that this is actually marbled as much as it is,
aged.
Experienced, well, aged. Maybe is the better word.
Exactly.
Oxidized. Black, and I'm not as familiar with some of these Parkers, but this one intrigued me. The condition of this at $355, there must be something more here than I'm aware. I don't know if it's a obviously number 5, it's going to be a larger size pen, but I'm not sure how common this is.
I would have passed over it. I don't like oxidized black hard rubber, but I know that there's more value than just aesthetic appeal.
It you know, it looks that it's clean, no cracks. Although I'm a little worried by the seller's description that it should be noted, I'm going to quote this, it should also be noted that the cap isn't threaded. It easily snaps on and off the pen, end quote. So I'm wondering if the cap is still in one piece.
Or the nib.
Yeah.
Jam it on.
So anyway, interesting. You know, if there's any Parker experts out there that know a little bit more about this, would love to know more about it. I'm sure it's uncommon. And lastly this week, this is a little bit unusual. You know how much I like these second and third tier makers.
You do. Anything with anything hard rubber with gold trim or silver trim, you're all over that.
Yeah, and if it was worth enough for them to stamp their name on the nib and the barrel, either or, it's of interest to me, especially if it's high quality like this is. Another New York maker. It's listed here as E.S. Johns and Company, but I think if you look at the nib, I think it's really Johnson, E.S. Johnson. Now, I wasn't able to find this anywhere in any of our reference books, and we have a number of them, but...
maybe we need more.
Maybe we need more. There's a good excuse right there. But you can see it's a nice chased hard rubber eyedropper. It's got this wide gold-filled band that extends all the way down to the bottom of the cap.
That's pretty.
It's not, you know, it's not broken off at the end. You can tell the way that the band extends there. Very nice work. It's got some little pansies on the band. But nice E.S. Johnson and Company. Then it says Warranted New York on the nib. Nib looks like it's got maybe a little bit of damage, but the rest of the pen looks nice and black. Trim is in good shape.
That looks like a Brian wants this pen.
It is a Brian wants this pen. Unfortunately, we came up on the short end of the stick on this one. Let's see. I mean, it's clean. Apparently, they wrote with it, so maybe the nib is better looking than it appears in the pictures. But I do give the seller props for plenty of pictures and yep. pretty good quality, too. Large
Very
size.
Very important to have enough pictures.
Winning bid on this one, $112.60 with six bids. So,
not too bad.
Not bad for a company. You know, we could go the rest of the year and maybe not see another E.S. Johnson pen. So... just something interesting to look at.
Very cool.
So that's it for eBay this week.
Now what?
Let's move on to some modern. I guess last week after I talked about my the Kaweco All Sport that I had, this little guy here, nice little pen. Actually, I put a review up, did a pen review up on the blog today. You just had to go and grab one of the classics boards. So I don't remember, you went for the burgundy or the green. I can't keep track which one you decided on. So,
I love this pen almost as much as I love Brian. All right. He made me say that. I'll be writing a review of, the classic sport this week for the blog, but, so far it's a keeper. I did have a tough time choosing between the burgundy, the blue, and the green. Let's see if I can do this. Just a cute little pen.
Mm-hmm.
Not all that big, but it fits really well in my hand. So I'm having a lot of fun with it. Testing it for research for the blog, of course. I'm only doing it for the blog.
I like to do research.
Yeah.
I would imagine it fits your hand a lot better than it fits mine. It fits good for me, but for you, I'd imagine you have a little bit smaller hand. It probably... fits pretty well.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a great deal. So
awesome.
Let's see. How about new on the website? We 2 weeks ago when Brian was on the FP Geeks podcast. Hi, Dan and Eric. shout out to our peeps. We were introduced to these new ink journal notebooks. Eric Schneider sent a 3-pack of them to Brian for appearing on the show. And when they arrived, we immediately decided these were just too cool to not share. So we decided to carry them. Each journal has room for 15 different ink samples, which is pretty cool. And they come in a 3-pack. They're handy pocket size, so they're easy to put in your purse or your shirt pocket if you're going to a show. And if you're looking for ink or something similar to an ink you already have, you can tell what you have without bringing all of your inks or having this really long list. Mm-hmm. It's really a great idea, very compact.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people who do come to the table and they ask, well, I have an ink that's this color and I want something darker. Well, and they don't have the sample, so this might be a good way to handle that.
Or they don't remember what it is.
Yeah,
it's just, I have this dark green. I think it's
right.
Some brand. I don't remember. And this way you have it. And it's small and compact.
I initially thought that 15 inks maybe wasn't enough. Yeah, 15 per book.
That's because you live with me.
That's when you consider how small these are, you know, they come in a 3-pack. That means you have 45 inks. That should be enough for most people, I would think. Maybe not all, but most. But they're cool. Yeah, like them. Nice covers. You know, like I say, they're small. They fit in your pocket or they fit in your back pocket for sure, purse. They don't take up a lot of room. So they're kind of nice.
Very nice.
Recently, we started carrying MicroMesh.
Awesome.
Something I was introduced to about 3 years ago. Now, I never used to bother polishing my pens. I don't know if it's because I was lazy or just didn't believe in it. But
we're very anti-polish.
I was anti-polish. You know, paste or anything. I mean, I'd forget it. But I started using MicroMesh, and I started with the strips. They make a long strip, and I was hooked. I've tried the strips, and then I moved on to the pads, which are a foam pad, and then they have essentially the sanding paper on each side. And I really find the square pads to be much better than the strips. They go from 1,500 grit all the way up to 12,000. And so you can do everything from... You can remove deep scratches, bite marks, imprints even if you want, all the way to smoothing nibs. So really come in handy. It's good stuff. Hardly a pen comes across the workbench that doesn't meet a MicroMesh pad at some point, some way, shape, or form. So
pen, meet MicroMesh. MicroMesh, meet pen.
You know, and you don't even have to. I've discovered I used to go through the whole line, you know, 1,500, 24, 36, go all the way up to 12,000 in every pen, and you really don't need that. I've discovered you can kind of go through, you start at the low end and move most of the way up, and you don't end up with something that's too polished. I mean, you can. If you really want a high shine, see your face in the pen, you can do it, man. Just go through it. And some people like that, some people do that, but I don't go all the way up to 12,000 every more on every pen, just because they never came that way from the factory. So I want to try to leave them a little bit more original.
But some of the higher grits you can use on nibs.
You can use them on nibs. You can use them for nib smoothing. You can even use them for, here's a good tip, for using on the front part of the nib itself. So if you have, sometimes you might have, say, a two-toe nib that's, it's lost most of the platinum plating on it, and it just looks kind of hideous. You can use an 8,000 or even a 6,000. It won't scratch the nib. You use them wet, and if there's scratches in a nib, this will take it out too. So you can really polish up a nib with some of the higher grits.
Go slow, be gentle.
Yep, and always wet.
It's wet.
Always wet, never dry. But good stuff. So.
Awesome. Speaking of working on pens, what's going on the workbench? I heard noises this morning.
You heard noises this morning?
I never ask.
I guess with all the excitement of the new job coming up and the Mission Small Business program that we were working on this week, the only thing I note this week, other than the usual Esther books that just never stop coming across the bench, was the Edward Todd dip pen. And I really have to start taking pictures before and after of these.
Yes, this thing was awful.
I you know, quite honestly, I really didn't think I was going to be able to straighten this thing out. It was that bad. And I figured if I couldn't get it, or the nib cracked, that the holder was worth the price alone. But this thing is just pretty near perfect now. I mean, it's straight. Can't really see much in the picture, but I can use it. I've been using it the last couple of days. Yeah. So you wouldn't have guessed it had been disfigured at all. And a little wet micro mesh again to smooth out the mother pearl taper, and this thing is beautiful. So that's about it for the workbench this week. Hopefully more next week. I think we're going to have some too.
Oh yeah, we will have some coming.
I know we have a package coming in soon. So
awesome.
How about this week's? We have a question on Esterbrook's this week.
Yep, Esterbrook question of the week.
Ooh.
We often receive requests for Esterbrook sections, which sadly we decline without having the pen in hand. Here's why: size does matter. I just had to say that.
This is a family-friendly show.
I had to say what? there may only be two distinct barrel sizes for J pens and two for dollar pens, but there could be six different section sizes to fit those same two barrels. Unlike some other brands, we just can't send you an SJ section and expect or guarantee that it will fit in your pen. It may fit, which would be a miracle. It may be too large, and if you don't shave it down, you could crack the barrel. Or it may be so loose that it falls out, and yes, it might fit in another SJ pen. So it's a question that we can't just tell you, yes, this will fit, or no, it will. You know, no, it won't.
Right. And dollar pen sections are almost trickier. They're a bit different in design, although the part that sticks out of the barrel looks the same. They fit tighter by nature, which compounds the matter somewhat. And the softer plastic of the dollar pen barrel, you really want to make sure that the section fits properly. If you're using heat to make sure that slightly too large of a section fits in the barrel, it's going to end up distorting the barrel below the section, which is an all too common sight with dollar pens. Yep. So
that's the Esterbrook dilemma of the week.
Dilemma of the week. All right. How about pen shows? We get to pretty much the same thing as last week. Anything
coming up? Miami coming up. And again, we keep trying to figure out how to make it, but we're just not going to be able to. We will be sending our pads. In fact, I need to get those out probably this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that they'll be available to customers who go to the show.
Probably would be a bad idea for me to take off
The
second week that I'm on my new job.
Start your job, yeah.
Oh, by the way, I need to go to a pen show.
Yeah, taking the weekend off.
Yeah. I guess since we're not able to go this year, boy, we'd love to hear back from anybody who might be going. Drop us a line with a report, pictures, what have you.
That absolutely.
would be fun to hear. So,
DC, as we've mentioned before, is next for us, August 9th through 12th. Huge, giant show. We have requested four tables. And I think last week we mentioned, jokingly that if we could find a junior assistant, we'd be set. It's a lot of space. That's, they're what, 6 feet long? That's 24 feet to cover. So we gave it some thought. We asked a good friend if we could rent him for part of Saturday. well, what else are you going to say? I mean, hire, I guess you could say hire him, but rent him sounds better. It would benefit both of us, and even better, we would have a blast.
Please say yes, Tim. Please say yes. You won't regret it.
We might have to think about doing the same thing in Columbus, I think. Four tables is just a lot of space to cover when we're busy.
Yep. And more importantly, that means four tables worth of yummy pens. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Again, with the great enabler.
The great enabler. Anything else this week?
I don't think so. I think we're done.
Okay. Comments, suggestion for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email Brian at AndersonPens.net.
Or Lisa at AndersonPens.net.
We are on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
Facebook as well, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
We're on the interweb at andersonpens.net.
There's a theme going on here. Blog, andersonpens.net/blog.
Join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events or pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.